WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. This is WVUA 90.7 FM, the Capstone, and welcome to episode number 28 of the Full Court Press Podcast. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Alex Chasen and Nick Atkinson. On today's episode, look forward to the league news and our starting center tier lists, the last tier list. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at @FCPPodcast_UA and on TikTok at @FCP_podcast. With that being said, let's get into it.
Hey, maybe we'll do six-man next. We'll see.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fine.
Maybe, but jumping right into the news, come on, John Morant, really? John Morant has had a whole saga starting February 5th. We'll jump right into it, but, oh, man, John Morant, sad to see. We don't exactly know the full details, of course, of what's going on with him right now, but what we do know is what I'm about to tell you. Starting on February 5th, the NBA probed an incident involving associates of Grizzlies' John Morant. A red laser was reportedly pointed at Pacer team members. A red laser, meaning from a gun. No one said it was from John Morant, but friends or associates, people with John Morant, that's what reportedly has happened. So that was February 5th. Next up, March 1st, John Morant accused of punching a 17-year-old, per report. Next up, March 4th, as you can see, the news is getting more and more recent. Grizzlies say Morant, who has been seen brandishing an apparent gun early Saturday, will be away from the franchise for at least two games. Then he was suspended for two games from the Grizzlies organization for brandishing a gun on Instagram Live. I did not see the live, but I saw the video when I woke up the next morning. As you can see, things are getting worse and worse for John Morant. And then more recently, Colorado police are investigating John Morant for his actions with the gun. And if he gets accused for...
They're not...
Yeah, I saw that. I was about to get to that next. If he gets accused for that, that could be a whole punishment, 50-game suspension in the NBA. Today, though, the Colorado police came out and said they did not find any concrete evidence that he was in Colorado at the time of this incident with the gun video, and that they're not going to do anything about it. Good thing he's an NBA star, because if he wasn't, they would have found something, probably. But with that said, so he's not going to get that 50-game suspension. Right now, he's at a 2-game suspension, but he has walked away from the team temporarily. In a statement from John Morant, quote, "I take full responsibility for my actions last night. I'm sorry to my family, teammates, coaches, fans, partners, the city of Memphis, and the entire Grizzlies organization for letting you down. I'm going to take some time away to get help and work on learning better methods of dealing with stress and my overall well-being," end quote. Really sad to see Ja Morant in this predicament right now. Rolling it all around, though, there has been talk over the last month or so of Ja Morant acting as something he's not. And that's from just general NBA media fans like us on Twitter. I know we haven't said anything, but just people like us, fans of the NBA on Twitter and social media. And then on national NBA media circles from outlets such as First Take, NBA Today, and the Skip and Shannon Show. Kendrick Perkins has spoken publicly about it. Jalen Rose, like I said, Skip and then Shannon Sharp. What's your take on this, Jamie?
So, Ja Morant has completely just diminished his reputation as an NBA superstar. He's gone from one of the most beloved players in the entire league to now one who is going to have a very hard time gaining that love back, not just in Memphis, but from people everywhere around the world. You just hate to see this from a player of his caliber. He's gone from Ja Morant to Ja Warrant, and, you know, we just hate to see it. And it's honestly hit the Grizzlies as an organization really hard.
There's more Grizzlies news coming up next.
They just dropped to the 3 seed. Sacramento took that 2 seed from them, and it's not looking any better with Brandon Clark out and Dylan Brooks getting suspended.
Right.
So, you know, the Grizzlies, if this continues for them and Ja Morant does end up getting suspended, they are first-round playoff exits without Ja Morant. So hopefully he cleans up his act quick.
Nick, we've talked about this off the podcast, about him being something he's not. What's, like, your take on this whole Ja Morant situation?
I mean, I know where he's from in South Carolina. He's from Sumter, South Carolina. It's like, I live in the upstate, and then there's the beach. He lives right in the middle of that, so it's not what he's trying to make it out to be. It's not that at all. It's, like, the country. Like, so I don't know. I mean...
Is he saying he's from the hood?
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to speak on anybody's situation, but, you know, I just know where he's from, so I just know that that's not what he's out making it be.
I heard people such as Kendrick Perkins, Jalen Rose specifically, was talking about how he was in his same shoes. He came into the NBA, all the money, all the fame, and for some reason he had to act like he had to prove himself to others in his circle that he was, like, tough or something that he's not. That's what Jalen Rose said.
I don't know if it's the same situation with Jalen Rose, because Jalen Rose wasn't the number one option on a team who was the second seed in the West.
I know, but it's more like, hey, you're getting money no matter what.
I get that, but he also didn't do what John Morant did with the whole gun thing. So I get where he's coming from, obviously. He's making a good point. But I don't think it's a great comparison between Jalen Rose, who was a good point guard at best on, like, some mediocre Bulls teams, compared to John Morant, who's an all-NBA player.
Yeah, I understand that, but I guess he's more just showing the point that NBA bum, NBA mid player, or NBA superstar like John Morant, you all come into the league, get money, get some either superstar fame or just some NBA fame in general. Yeah. It can hit you differently. And I guess that was kind of Jalen Rose's
point. John Morant got out easy, though.
Yeah, he did. It could have got a lot worse for him in Colorado. But like I said today, like Nick said, there was no concrete evidence to really point anything on John Morant except that video. And I guess they couldn't find any solid concrete evidence that was in Colorado and or the gun situation and all that. So lucky for him, because if that was found guilty, that would be legal things and also a 50-game suspension, because if it was found that he was also on the team playing with the gun, that's where that 50-game suspension would come into, and obviously that would wreck the Grizzlies' rest of this season and parts of next season, because that carries on, obviously, for 50 games. There's only like 20-something games left, and then 30 games next season. But moving on to more Grizzlies news, I believe Jamie alluded to this a few minutes ago, but Grizzlies guard Dylan Brooks has been suspended for Sunday's game versus the Clippers after picking up his 16th technical foul of the season. Granted, very small suspension. It was a game or two, but still, it's just this all came out on the same day of John Morant's whole situation. She was just compounding. More compounding information next. Dylan Brooks out for the rest of the season with a torn Achilles. The Grizzlies just keep getting more and more hit. What's your take on this?
Yeah, so Brandon Clark, it's just terrible to see. He was one of the better players on the team, playing that bench role, starting every so often. And at that forward position, he just got him a lot of buckets. Plays fantastic defense. He's really underrated at that. And now you're losing him. They were the number one defense, and without Clark, I'm sure that's going to fall. So this is going to be a big hit for them, and it's a big reason why they already fell from the two seed.
I agree with that. How about you, Nick? How do you feel about Dylan Brooks? I know it's not a lot, but it's still just like another issue with Memphis. And then obviously the bigger one right now, Brandon Clark with his torn Achilles.
I mean, I kind of look at it as a positive thing, because I've been thinking that they need to. He's already about 27 years old, so I think that
Clark?
Yeah. So I would like to see Xavier Tillman get a lot of minutes and get the time that he deserves at that backup power forward / center position. And I just think that him being injured, yeah, it's not a good thing for the defense, but now that you bring in somebody that's younger who has a lot of potential, I think that is a positive thing to look at in that situation. Dylan Brooks being injured, yeah, that's whatever it is. But you also have Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. still. That's two all-stars, so I think that's going to be all right.
I agree with that. Let's get off the Grizzlies. We talked about the terrible news with Ja Morant, his whole situation there. Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark. So let's get off the Grizzlies. Let's jump into some positives. Pau Gasol, the great Laker legend, had his number retired, number 16, retired last night in the, should be still called the Staples Center, but we'll say, the Crypto.com Arena. It's up there in the rafters with Kareem, Kobe, all the Lakers legends. In his time in LA, he averaged 18 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, and a 2-time champion. I'm going to start off with you, Jamie. What's this mean for the Lakers, and how do you feel about this? Obviously, he deserves it, but give me your take.
So Pau Gasol is an absolute legend in every facet of the word. He is a Spaniard at heart, and he's dominated the NBA ever since coming in. He's a top 3 Grizzly of all time, and I think his time there goes very underappreciated, especially because his brother Mark also played there, kind of took his spotlight as a legend there. And then, he played great, goes to the Lakers to join up with Kobe. And Pau Gasol, if it wasn't for him, the Lakers don't get those 2 championships. You had Shaq and Kobe, but Pau and Kobe were, I'm not going to say just as dominant, but they were an absolute force to be reckoned with out in Los Angeles for a very long time.
Paul could space the floor more.
Yeah, he definitely could. He could dribble, too. So those 2 guys, they did it all. Pau Gasol, absolutely deserving of this achievement.
Do you see that video of Jimmy Butler, like, sneaking up on Pau?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
He snuck up on him because they played together on the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
And, obviously Pau Gasol wasn't really great then, but he was still serviceable.
He was a leader.
And Jimmy Butler surprised him at his event last night. How about you, Nick? How do you feel about Pau Gasol getting his number retired?
Yeah, I think it's really good, especially because that team that they had was so special to be able to beat the Celtics like super team that they had back then, when nobody thought the Lakers would have been able to compete, especially back then with Kobe being injured. He was in the news a lot back then for whatever reason, and then Pau Gasol had a lot to prove, just being just an all-star caliber player to being a championship winning right. level player. And now it kind of leads the way as players like Anthony Davis will probably have their numbers retired as well. So.
You made a great point. I know you weren't trying to do this, but since, you know, remember Kobe, obviously we weren't really like into basketball at the time, but Kobe had a lot of personal issues going on earlier in his career. Ja Morant has some personal issues going on in his career. Kobe Bryant made it through it. Let's see if Ja Morant as well can make it through it. Because obviously if the great Kobe Bryant can, and his was a little bit different.
Kobe was a different monster, though. He had that mentality.
Yeah, but his was obviously, I think, honestly, his was a little more serious. It was different allegations going on with women. But with that said, he made it through it those different times.
They both happened in Colorado, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that Kobe one did. But yeah, Ja Morant, he'll make it through it as well because he is a superstar. I just, you know, made a little connection there because I heard what you were saying. Moving on, though, the Wizards make an interesting move. People will probably make a bigger deal out of this. I don't think we're going to make too big of a deal because we're realistic people here, but I want to talk about it because it is news. The Washington Wizards are signing Sydney Kings, the Australian basketball team, forward Xavier Cooks, MVP of the National Basketball League in Australia, to a deal through the 23-24 season, his agent told Adrian Wojnarowski. And then the Australian League MVP, don't look at it. I mean, I'm sure you're already looking at it on the Google Doc, but guess how many points he averaged.
15?
Right.
I would say like 15, 3, 7 on 57%.
Maybe because it's on the Google Doc. I should have hit that. I should have deleted it before I asked that question. But anyways, yeah, the MVP averaged 15, roughly 4 assists, roughly 8 rebounds on 57% from the field. Great shooting percentage, but that's an MVP? What's he going to do in the NBA? Average 5, 2, and 1?
Probably, honestly.
I don't even know how this is news. I don't know how this is headlines, but it's still cool to see someone who's 27 years old, finally make it to the NBA. I'm sure this is his dream, obviously, so I'll give him some credit for that. Let's see what he can do in the NBA. Again, he's a 27-year-old rookie now in the NBA, kind of like a Brad Wanamaker.
Yeah.
And we all know how that turned out. Not amazing, but a good role player. Is there really any take on this? What do you guys got to say?
I was going to say, really. I'm pretty sure we've seen other league MVPs, like NBL or whatever other leagues are out there, Chinese leagues, their MVPs come over to the league and not really see a lot of success. So I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to have a lot of success because he most likely isn't. But it's a great opportunity to have, and hopefully he can show
I will out. Say, though, the Australian Basketball League, along with some others like in Europe, it is a very competitive one. And it's the closest country that gets close to the USA for competing with them every year in the Olympics.
That's where Lamelo played.
Right, and RJ Hampton. So I will say, I mean, guys like Patty Mills are from there. I would say they, if there's any chance for someone to turn into an NBA talent, it's probably from the Australian Basketball League just because they, not even close to on par, but they have a relationship with the USA and they always put up a fight in the Olympics. But that's all we got for the news today. It's kind of like a slow news week. With that said, though, what are we doing today, Nick?
We're doing our last ranking of starting caliber players, or starting players. We're here with the centers. Starting at D, I'm going to start off with Mark Williams. He's been playing really good this season, I think. As soon as LaMelo got injured, it's like he's been playing like Shaq, and it really hasn't been that good of a thing for the Hornets. I think they just beat the Knicks last night.
They did. They ended their 9-game winning streak.
And so when something like that happens, it's kind of just like, we don't want to win games. But, I mean, I guess if you have Mark Williams and LaMelo Ball in the future and then, you know, maybe you slip down to, like, the fourth or fifth pick, it's kind of better than getting the first pick, honestly. But because I just don't think Wembanyama or Scoot fits their, like, scheme that they need to run.
They don't need a point guard, obviously. Yeah. And then if you trust Mark Williams, then you don't need a center. So I guess Brandon Miller's your guy.
Brandon Miller, Amon Thompson.
Cam Whitmore, if you fall down a little farther.
But next up, Andre Drummond. Obviously, he's not really a starting caliber center anymore. I think he could start, but I mean, he's just probably the best backup big in the league. He's great at defense, probably one of the best rebounders in NBA history. He's always been an amazing rebounder. Jeremy Sochan, you know, he's really only known for his defense. He's kind of the modern day Dennis Rodman a little bit,
even with the hair.
Uh-huh.
But he's just got to develop his offensive game, and then maybe he can play some sort of meaningful minutes going into the future. They did draft him with the lottery pick, so you would hope that he'd be able to do that. Mo Bamba, he's been okay this season for the Lakers. Before that, on the Magic, he was just kind of getting minutes, but now on the Lakers, he's kind of just playing some terrible offense, but playing good defense, what he's supposed to be doing. And then Dwight Powell, he's probably one of the most, like, influxing, you know what I'm trying to say?
Influxing?
Yes. Players in the NBA just very inconsistent. He goes up and down when it comes to scoring. He's never been a good defender. He's one of the worst contracts in the NBA. I think it's like either $11 or $13 million a year.
You know how he got traded to the Mavericks? I've definitely asked this before.
I think it was Jay Crowder or something.
Him and Rondo got traded from the Celtics. Back in that trade, from the Celtics to the Mavericks.
Yeah. And then next up, James Wiseman. He's been playing so much better since he's been on the Detroit Pistons rather than the Golden State Warriors. I think that this could be your center going into the future. You know, if you don't get the first-round pick, you don't really have to be mad at anything because you also have Jalen Duren, who's probably one of the best young defenders in the NBA. And that being your front court going into the future, then you focus on that small forward, I think that they'll be set. And also Thomas Bryant. He said he wanted to get some starting caliber minutes, but now he's playing behind the second-best center in the NBA, so... You know, whatever. But I think he's starting caliber level. I think he could start on half of these teams on, you know, in the NBA. But I'd much rather have him on the Clippers than Mason Plumlee, I'll say that. But Jalen Williams on OKC, he's one of my favorite rookies, the second Jalen Williams. He's okay at defense. And I think that going into the future for OKC, you have all these young pieces and you just keep on getting better. I think that, my personal opinion, Lakers are going to fall out of the play-in. OKC is going to get in. I just think that's what's
going to
happen.
I would love to see them finally make a playoff spot.
Yeah. And then Jalen Duren, exactly what I kind of just said. His defense is really nice. I think that he's going to be one of the best big men in the league in like 5 years. I think he's going to be like a Bam Adebayo. I just think he's going to be a top five center here in like 2 or 3 years.
How do you think they're going to deal with that dynamic of Wiseman and Duren? Because they're both centers.
Really good.
But how are they going to deal with that? Because one of them, they're both going to want to play.
Like Jared Allen and Mobley.
So who do you think will be the power forward?
Duren. He's taller, but he's more lengthy. He can shoot the ball a little bit, and he's just versatile. So I think that'll be his position. Then next up, the worst player in the NBA, Mason Plumlee. And I'm not kidding at all. I cannot stand Mason Plumlee. He dribbles the ball up the court like he's Allen Iverson. He plays no defense. He gets dunked on. Although he will have like two or three plays in the game where he posterizes somebody or crosses somebody up and then hits a fadeaway three or something. So, you know, he has his moments, but he's overall probably one of the worst NBA players I've ever seen in my life. So.
That's a great segue to my D tier. Got to start off with Mark Williams. And he's a case, along with James Wiseman and Jalen Duren and Jeremy Sochan. Those are guys that can jump up. They're just not C tier right now. But by, I'd say, 2 weeks into next season, they'll probably be C tier players. It's just, they're just starting to sprout, especially Mark Williams, especially Wiseman, especially Duren, who's been kind of hurt. Jeremy Sochan is probably more D tier right now, but he has the potential to jump up. He has good offensive ability, great defensive ability, like Nick said. But especially, let's keep it with Mark Williams, Wiseman, and Duren right now. They're going to sprout, just not quite yet. They've definitely shown flashes. All three of them have shown flashes of star potential or lower star potential, especially Mark Williams lately, and Wiseman, who had like 26 points last night. All right, so D tier right now, but I want to preface it by saying this is right now, but I think they can move up to C and keep climbing up that ladder, especially those three guys. Next up, Andre Drummond. 4 or 5 years ago, he was a low A tier, B tier center in the NBA. He was grabbing 15 rebounds a night, giving you 15 points a night, 2 blocks, 1 steal. He was the modern day perfect center. And then shooting kept getting more and more important. He never really got that aspect into his game, and his defense and rebounding ability was just like just a regular other center that happens these days. So he's kind of fallen off a little bit. Still a great backup center in Chicago, but that's why he's in D tier. Next up, Mo Bamba. A lot like Nick said, he just never really flourished into what he's supposed to be. He has his moments. He played better offensively in Orlando. He's kind of lackluster now, but his defense has always been there. I think that's the reason why he still has an NBA spot, is because his defense is so dominant. But with that said, his offense just isn't there with his defense. That's why he's a D-tier player. Then Dwight Powell. I'm going to disagree with you, Nick. You said Mason Plumlee is the worst player in the NBA. I'm going with Dwight Powell. He's getting played almost $11-12 million a year, like Nick just said, to do nothing. He doesn't even really play that much. That was one of the worst contracts. The Mavericks give out really bad contracts. Davis Bertans has like $44 million over like 2 years. Dwight Powell has like $60 million over like 5 years. And Kamari Cuban has too much money to throw around. And this is another example of it with Dwight Powell. He's been on the Mavericks. He's the longest tenured Maverick on the team besides Dirk Nowitzki when he was still there. But he takes over that spot as now the longest tenured Maverick. He's been there ever since the Celtics traded him when they drafted him with Rondo. I don't really get why he's still there. I don't get why he was there past 5 years, but he's still there. He must have good leadership ability or something. Then Thomas Bryant. A month ago, he would have been C-tier, maybe B-tier, but he's now averaging around 4 minutes per game on the Nuggets. He went from being a starting slash backup center on the Lakers to being, I want more minutes. Lakers did him very dirty, sent him to Denver. He now gets no minutes behind Jokic because Jokic plays basically 48 minutes a game. So Thomas Bryant has no availability to play. He's now a D-tier center. He doesn't even play. Next up, Jalen Williams, the center Jalen Williams, a very undersized center. He's only like 6'8", 6'9", but he's averaging around 4-4 and gets his job done down there in OKC. We'll see what happens next year when Chet comes back, see who's going to start, him or Chet, see who moves to power forward, him or Chet. But then they also have the other Jalen Williams, who's a small forward, power forward, even though he's technically listed as a shooting guard, but he plays small forward, power forward because he's 6'9". So interesting dynamic in OKC. This is just another one of their young players, assets that OKC has, like Nick talked about. I'm excited for their future.
Okay, let's start off with my D tier. We're going to start with Mark Williams, who has really emerged as a up-and-coming star for the Hornets. Me and Tommy, who's a friend of ours, who is a big Hornets fan, have had a lot of conversations about this man while Mason Plumlee was still there, just arguing and just talking about why Mark Williams wasn't getting a shot. 7'1", 7'2", with an 8-foot wingspan, one of the longest in the NBA, and he wasn't starting, but now he is, and he's playing well. You know, he gets a ton of boards. He didn't really last night in that win against the Knicks, but he's a serviceable player, and he does his thing. Next up, Andre Drummond, one of the best rebounders in NBA history, but he's older. He's just serviceable nowadays. Jeremy Sochan out in the Spurs, like they said, the second coming of Dennis Rodman. Just because he plays defense and gets rebounds, doesn't really much like play any offense. He has that one-handed free throw shot that he's got. It's a little funky, but it does the job. He also has that big gap in his teeth. Next up, Mo Bamba. Legendary song, by the way, not so legendary player. I feel like we were all hyped watching him come into the league as a very high-end draft pick, and he kind of just didn't meet any expectations. He had a lot of chances out in Orlando, didn't really meet anything. Now he's out on the Lakers playing just role player minutes. Next up, Dwight Powell, who I really dislike.
Me too.
Only because he takes a lot of valuable minutes from guys like Christian Wood, who should be out there like all the time. And Dwight Powell just clogs up the floor. He's like it's like an eyesore, kind of. Sorry, Dwight Powell, but I don't know, maybe he can get a shot somewhere else. But the Mavericks, it ain't it. Next up, James Wiseman. He has not necessarily rejuvenated his career ever since getting drafted, I believe, third overall by Golden State just a few years ago. Yeah, he was behind LaMelo and Anthony Edwards. Third overall by Golden State, very injury-prone, and when he did play, wasn't anything special coming out of Memphis. But now he's in Detroit, kind of doing his thing. Might get his job taken eventually by a guy named Victor, but time will tell. Next up, Thomas Bryant. Like they said earlier, he's only getting 7 minutes a game, even though he wanted starting caliber minutes. So I'm not sure what's up with him, but at least he's on the first seed in the West. He went from a very bad situation out in Los Angeles to a good one in Denver, but he's not playing, so what's it matter? Next up, Jalen Williams, the not-as-good Jalen Williams out in Oklahoma City, but the Jalen Williams who does his job and makes cool TikToks that I saw today on my For You page.
He makes TikToks?
Yeah, he did one with the other Jalen Williams, and then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander ended up walking up to the camera and turning it off. I'll have to show that to you later. But he does his job. He's very undersized, so I feel like when Chet does come back, he will be moved to the power forward, small forward type role, just because I think the Thunder would want to go with a bigger lineup. You know, just because they have a 6'7" point guard in SGA, a 6'8", 6'7" shooting guard in Josh Giddey. So I do think they want to run a bigger lineup, which is why I think they will move Jalen Williams when Chet does come back. And lastly, Jalen Duren, another guy out in Detroit who's kind of doing his thing. He's a big body. He does his job, but I mean, unfortunately, it's another guy that could get his job taken by a dude named Victor. So only time will tell. Hopefully he can get another opportunity elsewhere, because I do think he has a lot of potential. But as of right now, he's a D-tier player.
Moving on to C. Start off, Jonas Valanciunas. I could see Yeah, I'm a move into B. Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah,
that was quick.
Wendell Carter Jr. though, he's the reason that Mo Bamba is not on the Magic anymore. He's what the Magic wanted from Mo Bamba, but I mean he's overall just a really good defender. He can stretch the floor now, so that's really good for them. Daniel Gafford, he's probably the future center of the Washington Wizards. He's only about 23 years old. I really liked him when he played with Westbrook and Beal a couple years ago, and he's still really dominant. Zubac, I actually really liked him in his couple of games that he's played with Westbrook. The Westbrook effect has definitely been active with the Clippers. You know, Zubac has been, I think the last two
one
games.
One in five, right?
I mean, it's still, though. We've
active.
Had injuries, though.
Active.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody's looking so much better since before the trade deadline.
Real quick, Lakers are 7-2, by the way, without Westbrook lately. So,
okay. Kevon Looney also he's a good defender, and yeah, he's probably one of the bigger reasons that the Warriors are so dominant nowadays. Then Naz Reid, he's just a good player and scorer off the bench for the Timberwolves. Yusuf Nurkic, he's really good too for the Blazers. And Walker Kessler, one of the best defenders in the NBA. He's had multiple 2-3-plus block games. And Jakob Poeltl, he's one of the best backup centers in the NBA. And then Nikola
Vucevic. That's crazy.
He's on one of the worst teams in the NBA. He's putting up empty stats, and he's just probably the worst defender in the NBA, honestly. And then Alperen Sengun, I can see an argument for him being MB because he's good at defense, but once again, on the worst team in the NBA. So.
But it's all about individual. I mean, okay, you Anthony Davis is way up at the top. He's on one of the worst teams in the NBA.
They're in the play-in now. They're fine.
Chicago Bulls are still...
They're a 12 seed.
Yeah, but they're right near the play-in, too.
But they're not.
Exactly.
They're probably, like, two games out.
AD is better than Vucevic.
Obviously, but, I mean, I'm just trying to, like... That's crazy.
If you were to put AD in A tier, I think he's done enough for himself to deserve that S tier no matter what his record is. Or Vucevic puts up a lot of empty stats, and he's very bad at defense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have him very high either, but I mean, I have him a lot higher
yeah,
than you guys.
You do.
Not very. There. Anyways, we'll jump into my C tier. Let's start off with Jonas Valanciunas. Well, I want to point this out here. So we'll start off with Jonas Valanciunas, Alperen Sengun, Wendell Carter Jr., and Yusuf Nurkic. What do those four guys have in common? Good to
center.
Right. Good to great offensive stats, but subpar defense. That subpar defense puts them in the C tier because there's other guys in B tier that I'll get to later when we go around the horn that have not as great offense but amazing defense. And when you're playing that center position, if you have great defense, you're going to be way higher than the guys who have good offense because you're the center. You're supposed to take ownership of the paint. And some of these guys can even take ownership of the perimeter defense as well, which is very rare to see for big men. But a couple of these guys that we'll get to later can do that. So that's why I have some good offensive scorers like Valanciunas, Sengun, Wendell Carter Jr., and Yusuf Nurkic. Good offensive scorers, terrible defense, or subpar defense at best. That's why they're so low on my tier list. Jumping into some other guys, Daniel Gafford, he has great defense, not the best offense, but why is he not in B? Just because he hasn't done it on a consistent basis yet. He's still young in the NBA. He needs a little more time under his legs, get a little more into the NBA, pick up that offense, and pick up a little bit better defense compared to some of the guys in B tier, and he'll be up in B tier very soon. I agree with Nick. He is definitely the center of the future in Washington. Next up, Mason Plumlee. Yes, I understand he's bad and all, but he still averages 9-9. That's a very valuable asset to a contending, trying to be a contending team in the Clippers in LA. So for that reason, I have to put him in C tier. He's a valuable asset. Yes, I know he bounces the ball off his knee, tries to be Westbrook. He's not Westbrook, but he's still averaging 9-9. That's a good thing to have on a team. Terrible defense, though. That's why he's in C. Next up, Kevon Looney, one of the most underrated centers in the NBA. He is now the backup center to Draymond Green. Because Draymond Green is now the center, who's like 6'7", 6'8". Very interesting to see that. But Kevon Looney, almost like a Mason Plumlee, he'll give you 9-9 every single night, if not a little bit more rebounds-wise as well. He's always been a great board guy. He's always been a subpar offensive player. He's picked it up over the years as he's been in the NBA longer. But he is the definition of a C-tier NBA player. Not great, not bad. He does his job perfectly, and that's why the Warriors have been championship contenders for many, many years now. One of, obviously, many, many reasons. Next up, Naz Reid. He could potentially be B. I just think he hasn't really had the opportunity to flourish into what he can be in the NBA. Obviously, currently, Towns is out right now, so he's been playing a lot more minutes. But before that, he just really hasn't had a lot of minutes. And even when he's gotten the minutes, he had like one or two games where he got like 25 points. But not as many games as I was going to thought where he'd flourish into a star. But I still think that potential is there. He's just kind of undersized, but he has that dog mentality. A lot like a Dennis Rodman. He's like 6'8", 6'9", playing the big man position. But the dog is all there in him. I just think he has to let it loose a little bit more.
Oakley dokley. Let's start off with my C tier. I moved Jonas Valanciunas up to B, so I'm going to skip him. Let's start off with Wendell Carter, who, if this was last year, was a B tier center. The Magic don't necessarily win a lot of games, but when they do win games, it's mostly in part to Wendell Carter Jr. He's fantastic offensively. He's averaging a little under a block, but he does his job. He's very serviceable. And he's really been good for the last couple of years. He is having a bit of a down year. He's averaging the same amount of points, but the rebounds have fallen off by about 1.5, as well as the blocks. So hopefully he can get himself sorted out. Next up, we have Daniel Gafford, who for some reason I thought was like 28 or something, but it turns out he's 23. And like I thought he was in the league for like 5-6 years by now, because I remember him playing with Westbrook and Beal. So I was like, oh yeah, he's probably like a vet or something. But no, he's only 23. So shout out Daniel Gafford. He's young. And he plays center, and he does it serviceably. So, shout out him. Next up, Mason Plum Dog Millionaire out in L.A. for the Clippers. He is very bad. I consider moving him to D tier. But he has those highlight plays where he'll cross somebody up. He'll put somebody on a poster. But he makes a lot of really like elementary mistakes. Just over-dribbling as a center. Like, you shouldn't be doing that with guys like Westbrook or Paul George or Kawhi Leonard on your team. That's just not your job. Go out, get boards, go play defense, and maybe catch a few lobs is all you got to do if you're Mason Plumlee. But sometimes he tends to take it up a notch and do a little too much. But he's still serviceable. He'll get you a few buckets here and there. So I'll put him there, even though he has one of the most broke jump shots I've ever seen. Next up is Kevon Looney, who I think is probably the I'm not going to say the highest end C tier guy here, but he's definitely up there. I'm going to say this. When it's playoff time, Kevon Looney might as well just be an S tier center, because that dude plays out of his mind. He averages like 15 rebounds a game in the playoffs. That's just something that all the Warriors do. But this is a regular season tier list, and as a regular season center, he's a C tier guy. He does his job perfectly. He's pretty undersized, and for the amount of boards he gets, should be recognized. So shout out Kevon Looney Tunes. Next up, Naz Reid. Again, like what Alex said earlier, Karl Anthony Towns being out for a long amount of time has led to him getting a lot more minutes, a lot more opportunities, and he has produced. He was a very hyped up prospect coming out of college, and he's done his job. So I gotta give him his props for that. I'm not going to sit here and say he's a B-tier guy or anything, because I think the guys above him are levels ahead of him. But I do think he could, he has the potential to be one of those guys someday if he does get a bigger role somewhere else. And lastly, Yusuf Nurkic, who has been that guy, that center in Portland for...
way too long.
Way too long. It's been a long time. He has been in Portland for a very long time. When Damian Lillard says he wants help, Yusuf Nurkic is not necessarily what they are talking about, Mr. Front Office Man out there in Portland. So, he gets blocks. He plays defense, and that's really about all he does. He's a really big body.
He's not the best defender, but...
I'm just saying, he's a big body. He does it. He's built like a truck, but, it's not really the best truck. I will say that. So that's it for my C tier guys. Big shout out to Kevon Looney, though. That's my guy.
Moving on to B, start off with Jonas Valanciunas, like I was saying. He's just too good offensively and I think defensively. And then obviously their playoff team, he stretches the floor better than just about anybody in the league. Obviously not as good as Karl Anthony Towns, but he's just still one of the best stretch bigs in the NBA. Next up, Rudy Gobert, this player that has only one skill, and that's defense. He's just not good at anything else. And Robert Williams, he is very undersized, but he's still a great defender on one of the best teams in the NBA. Mitchell Robinson, he's everything that everybody wanted him to be a couple years ago when he was getting like 6 fouls in the first two quarters of the game. Now he's staying in the whole game, and he's playing really good defense. And then also Steven Adams, one of my favorite players of all time. He's injured right now, but he has such an effect on the locker room. He was telling his guys that they got to tighten up and they got to start checking on themselves and stop doing what they were doing. So obviously it didn't work, but I think that he has a lot of control over that locker room, and he's a big reason why they're the second seed, just because of his effect on the locker room.
Third, because of
the Kings. Brook Lopez, probably the second best shooter in the NBA as far as big men go. You know, he's the reason the Bucks are, you know, the best team in the NBA, and why they have consistently one of the best offenses and defenses, just because they have so many pieces, and, you know, the reason why they're going to go super deep in the playoffs once again. So, you know, he's probably one of the biggest effects of why they do that, and they've really gotten Bobby Portis to mentor and kind of lean off of him, so whenever the time does come for him to move to that bench role, they'll have nothing to worry about with Bobby Portis. And then also, Al Horford, one of the most clutch shooters of the last couple years, especially in that corner from three. Miles Turner, he's one of the best big men shooter also. I feel like this has a lot of good shooting big men, this tier does. But he's also really good at defense. I thought he was going to be moved, but he got kind of a weird contract before the contract extension deadline. So we'll probably see him with Tyrese Halliburton for the ongoing future. And then Clint Capella, he's fallen off a lot since he played with James Harden. He'd probably be an eight back then in those days when they were second seed in the Western Conference, playing the Golden State Warriors all those years and losing. But, you know, he's still kind of plays his role. He's more valuable to the Hawks than John Collins is, so do with that what you will. And then Nick Claxton, he's probably one of the best defenders in the NBA. I feel like he should definitely get all NBA first team defense this season. So
jumping into my B tier, let's start off with Rudy Gobert. I was contemplating putting him in C, but then I was like, Alex, let's take your bias of and hatred for Rudy Gobert out of it, and let's be realistic. He is a middle tier B center. He averages 13 and 13. He has less. Jamie, don't shake your head. I'm gonna explain something real quick. His defense has tanked from previous seasons. He is not a depoy player anymore.
Where do you have Robert Williams?
I'm getting to him.
I'm just saying, the range of B.
I'm getting to him.
Okay.
All right. So Rudy Gobert, he's like middle of the road B tier center on this tier list. You could jump up a little bit, but he's not quite B plus. I'd say B. He's a good B. Next up is Robert Williams. I almost had him in C tier. He is B minus for me. He's been injured not a lot of the season, but he's on and off injured. That seems to be a trend in his career, sadly. He hasn't been as productive this season, a lot like a Rudy Gobert. His defense is there still, but not as well as it was last year. Robert Williams, was averaging like almost 2 blocks a game last year. He's barely averaging 1. Granted, he's been on and off the court with some injuries. Right now, he's out for like 12 days because he has some hip problems. Hamstring problems. So, hate to see it, but that's a trend with these two guys right here. Good defensive players, but having down years. So, I would say, to answer Jamie's question, Rob is a B-. Rudy Gobert is around a B. If I want to be nice, I can say half of a B, half of a B+. But I can't say B+ because I hate him so much. Next up, Mitchell Robinson. He is a lot like a Robert Williams, but I'd say more like a Rudy Gobert. I'd say he's B+. Yes, I will say Mitchell Robinson is better than Robert Williams right now. And that's a Boston fan saying that. Just Mitchell Robinson's presence on the floor is just felt so much. Yes, Robert Williams is as well, but Mitchell Robinson gets the job done more consistently. He's on the court more. He averages 10 and 10. Robert Williams is not doing that this year. Next up, Jakob Poeltl. He's B+. He's B+. His offense is there. His defense is there. That's what those other three guys lack. Offensive scoring ability. Past like 10 feet. Jakob Poeltl has that. He can score a deep midi. Not really the threes too well, but he'll give you like a 18-footer out there around the court. Also really good defense. Next up, Steven Adams. A lot like Nick said, he is that anchor of that Grizzlies roster. He learned a lot back in OKC, I'm sure, from Westbrook on leadership skills and different things like that. And he's brought that to Memphis. And yes, they are falling off a little bit. They're the third seed now behind Sacramento.
Woo.
But, yeah, light that beam, baby. Light that beam.
Light it.
But with that said, Steven Adams has that leadership ability, and he does his job really well. He averages like 13, 12 points, 9, 10 rebounds, almost 2 blocks a game. He's getting up there in age, but he is still getting his job done on that court for the Grizzlies. Next up, Ivaka Zubac. Yes, the Clippers are kind of struggling right now. I know I was busting Nick's chain over there a few minutes ago, but I was just messing around. He'll be a good piece to this Clippers roster when they make a playoff push. My only thing with him is he's not the best shooter. He has really good defense. He grabs a ton of boards, but he just cannot really shoot it past like 10 feet and a layup. He's not the best shooter. He does need to work on that ability. But his rebounding ability, as we see in 2K, and it's in real life, he'll grab all the boards on the court. He does that so well, gets so many offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, helps push the ball up the court, I guess you could say. He's not going to, like, sprint up the court, but he'll get that rebound and throw it out to Kawhi, PG. And I guess now he has Westbrook to help sprint up that court with. Next up, my man Al Horford. Another one I debated putting in C. Why? His defense is great. His offense, he's one of the best shooters in the NBA this season, but he's just not doing it at the same level that he has been. He's only averaging like 9 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. It's just his efficiency is there. He's just not being as productive with it. Yes, shots are getting taken away from Tatum, Brown. Now Malcolm Brogdon's on the team. Derek White's on the team for a longer term. Marcus Smart's there. So I guess that could be your reason. But still, I couldn't put him any higher just because he's just not doing it at the same level that he has been with the Celtics for the past 5 years, except that one year and a half he was with Philly / OKC. But other than that, he's been the man for Boston for a very long time. Next up, Walker Kessler. He's going to be A tier very, very soon. I almost did it, but I couldn't do it just because he wasn't really close to being an all-star this year. But he is one of my favorite young centers in the NBA. Crazy how Minnesota decided to trade for Rudy Gobert and not keep Walker Kessler, looking back on it, because I would say Walker Kessler is about B+, where Rudy is a B. So they're very close right now, but I think Walker Kessler will take that next jump next season, and the Timberwolves are going to be kicking themselves in the foot for a long, long time. Next up, Clint Capela. He's also another B-tier center. He always has those 10-10 years. He's one of the best rebounders in the league, one of the best lob threats in the league as well. Better than John Collins right now, because John Collins is just absolutely, as Jamie would say, booty. So I'm going to give it to Clint Capela. He's a good B-tier center. Next up, Nick Claxton. Another one I debated putting in A. He just hasn't really played the way he has been playing right now currently for a long periodically time. That's like a meme. That's a meme word.
Yeah.
Periodically time. We've heard it back in the memes. But no, for real, Nick Claxton, he could be A, but he's not. His defense hasn't been there for as long. His offense is definitely not there as long. But it's there right now. He's got to do it on a more consistent basis. And then Jared Allen. He was an all-star last year, but he's having a down year. I know he's been injured a little bit, but he's just not producing at the same level that he was his all-star year. So for that, he's a B-plus center, but he's not on the same level as those other guys in A, because his offense isn't there as much this year, and his defense is not there as much this year.
Okay. Let's move on to my B's here, guys. So I'm going to start with the B-plus, and that's Rudy Gobert. As much as these two hate to hear it, as they've been talking, I've been comparing Gobert to a lot of the centers on this list, and he basically outdoes them in close to every single stat. Like Alex said, he had Jakob Poeltl as the B-plus guy, but Gobert averages about 6 more points, more steals, more blocks, about 5 more rebounds, and on a better field goal percentage. So I'm going to have him as that B-plus guy over a lot of these others. I'm not going to say he's A, just because he has had a slump year in defense, which is what he's known for. So I don't think he's deserving of A anymore, but he is the highest B-tier guy for me. Let's move on next to Robert Williams, who's the B-minus guy for me. Just because he's very lackluster offensively, but defensively he is very solid, and he is a very important piece in that championship team out in Boston. I did compare the two, Gobert and Robert Williams, and Gobert does put up better defensive stats, I will say that. But again, Robert Williams is on a winning team, so I got to give that to him. Next up, Mitchell Robinson, who has been a very important piece in that Knicks winning streak ever since coming back from injury. He's been absolutely fantastic for them in every facet, offensively, defensively. He's very lanky. He does it all out in New York. Next up, Jakob Poeltl, who I was talking about earlier in comparison to Rudy Gobert. He averages a lot less than him, but he is an important piece out in that, I guess, championship team is what they're calling it out in Toronto. That's what they call it. I don't know. That's what they think they're doing. Next is Steven Adams, who has definitely fallen off since his days in Oklahoma City with Mr. Westbrook. I'm wearing his T-shirt right now. Shout out, Nick. Steven Adams, as a leader, though, is an S-tier guy. There was a report that came out that he gave a big speech in the locker room after the whole John Morant incident came out and really motivated everybody to keep performing and stay motivated for the rest of the season and not fall off. So I got to give it to Steven Adams. He's one of the most likable guys in the NBA, and he plays his role very well as that big body who gets boards, plays defense, and will get you a couple buckets and hit a full court shot if he really feels like it every once in a while. Next is Avdija Zubac, or however you want to say his first name. He is that starting center out in Los Angeles for the Clippers. He's a lot better than Plum Dog Millionaire. We saw that 20-20 game he had about a month ago at this point. And he's been hurt, but he's coming back, and he's going to perform well for that Clippers team down the stretch. Next is Al Horford, who's another one of the guys I compared to Gobert. He does his thing even as a 36-year-old, is how old he is? As a 36-year-old, he still goes out and averages 13.5 points per game, 3 assists. I think 8 boards is what he's at right now, and about a block and a half. So he's doing his thing out there in a championship-contending team. So,
I think he's only averaging like 9 this year, but no, you're right. Yeah, that's his career.
I must have compared 9 career hours. Yeah. He's averaging 9 points then. Even though with that weird-looking jump shot, he still gets it to work, and he's still getting buckets. Next, I have Walker Kessler. If I were to compare him to anything, I'd compare him to a square or a block. He gets a lot of blocks.
Well, his head looks like a block.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going.
He's good, though.
He's really good as a rookie. He's one of the best defensive players, interior, in the NBA. And for being so young and inexperienced, it shows a lot about him. And I think he's going to be a centerpiece for Utah for a very long time. But he's a rookie, and offensively he's not there yet, so I'm going to give him time to progress. But as a rookie being in the B tier, that's very commendable. Next, Clint Capella out in Atlanta in that crumbling team, I think. I'm not sure how they're doing ever since hiring Quinn Snyder. I haven't checked, but game we went to, he caught a couple lobs, got a couple blocks, got a couple boards. That's really all he does, and it's all he's ever done. So shout out to Clint Capella because he plays his role perfectly. Next, I have Alperen Sengun, who, in my eyes, is one of the best offensive centers in the league. Is for being so young. I believe this is his second year in the league, and in my eyes, he might be the best player on the Rockets. He's really the only reason they win games, because the Rockets have such a ball-dominant core of Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. Sengun's there to kind of even out the two and get those boards. He's not the best defender, obviously, but he averages about 15 a game, and he's already a leader for that very young Houston team, so I'm going to give him a B tier for that.
You good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Vucevic.
Oh, yeah, he's down there in the little box. I also have Nikola Vucevic, who, yes, he's averaging 18 and 11, but like Nick said earlier, they're empty stats, and I see him on a house of highlights all the time for the wrong reasons. That dude is getting posterized every post I see. He's slow. He was an A-tier guy out in Orlando, but he's not that guy anymore. He's falling down to the B-tier.
Moving on to A, I could see Sabonis being an S, but I'm just not going to put him in S. He's still a top 5 center in basketball for sure. There's no other argument you can make. He's definitely top 5. Then moving on to DeAndre Ayton. He's kind of, in the second half of the season, since they've gotten some of the chemistry up, he's been playing a lot better. He's been playing really good defense. They seem to have a lot of confidence going into the playoffs. I don't think they'll make any noise, but they still have a lot of confidence, and that's a good thing to see from your young players like Ayton. Then Jarrett Allen. He's fallen off, but I mean, Mobley's taken a big jump this season, so I think that as far as that goes, his defense still really good impactfully, but maybe not on the statistic side of it. So yeah, that's all I got for A. I'm very short on A.
So my A tier is a little bit lengthier, not too much. It's about 3 more guys than Nick over there. I'm not sure what Jamie has, but let's start off with Bam Adebayo. He is not quite S tier just yet. Next year, I definitely will see it. I just think the whole Miami Heat team as a whole has taken a step back. He has taken a step up, but I just still can't. When I look at the guys in S tier I have 3 guys in S tier. I look at them, and I just can't even picture him coming even close to those 3 guys just yet. So for that very reason, himself, minus the Heat, he's having his best season of his career. But when I look at guys like Jokic, AD, and Embiid, obviously those are the top 3 guys. We don't need to make it like a whole surprise. I know Nick has Bam Adebayo up there. At least I think so, because he didn't say him. I just can't picture him being in those with that three group of guys just yet. Soon, maybe, but I just can't do it yet. Next up, Miles Turner. I think he's way better than the B-tier center. His defense is there. His offense is there. A lot like, who did you mention earlier? A lot like a Valanciunas. I know he's a C-tier. One of you guys, I think both of you jumped him up to B. I think Nick jumped him up to B as well. He's a lot like a Valanciunas, but way better because his defense is there, and he averages 18 points a game. He's one of the best shooting big men this league has ever seen. A lot like a Valanciunas. So for that very reason, he is A-tier. And the Pacers, they're not going to make much noise, but they're making some noise, and they're getting a lot better as a franchise in Indiana. Next up, Brook Lopez. He's a lot like a Draymond Green factor. I had Draymond Green in A tier last week when we were doing our power forward rankings. Yes, excuse me. So I got to throw him up here as well in A tier. His offense is better than Draymond Green, but his impactful defense and impactful, just kind of like a Draymond Marcus Smart-esque ability on the court of just making a lot of like hustle plays and just being that energy on the court. Obviously, that's Giannis's like main, you know, one of his jobs. But Brook Lopez, that's like his main job out there on the court besides playing some really impactful defense, is being that Draymond to this team. Now they have Jay Crowder, so maybe he can take a step back a little bit. But he brings high energy and great offensive ability with some good defense as well for that Bucks championship contending team, number one team in the East now. Celtics are in trouble, baby. With that said, Brook Lopez is A tier. Next up, Sabonis. If there's any of these guys on here, I'd probably throw Bam and then Sabonis in S tier if I were to do a package right there. But nope, I can't do it just yet. This is the way I look at it. I told Jamie this yesterday. Jokic is Nikola Jokic, and then there's Sabonis. Relatively the same player, but Jokic does what Jokic does way better at an MVP level. Sabonis does what Jokic does, but as an all-star level. So there's a difference there, and for that reason, I have to put Sabonis in A tier because he averages 19 points a night. He averages with the most rebounds in the NBA. He averages almost 10 assists a night, a lot like a Jokic, but at an all-star level, not a superstar MVP level. So for that, I have to put him in A tier, but he takes a little bit of a step up. I could see him being an S-tier player, but I don't know if he will at this point in his career, as he's already almost 30 years old. Next up, DeAndre Ayton. He is someone that I debated putting in B just because he's on a subpar team, but then that's not how I look at it, because you're going to see who I have next. I don't look at really their record. I look at how they play individually, and almost also their impact to their team. And Ayton has a huge impact for the Suns roster. They'd probably be the 13th seed without him. I mean, DeAndre Ayton plays great defense. I know he doesn't really want to be in Phoenix, so maybe he's not putting his all into it, but he plays really good offense as well. He can't shoot as well as a lot of the other guys on this list. I believe, actually all these guys in A tier can shoot really well. Ayton is the exception, just because of his great defense, and he can shoot a good deep midi. He just has to work on the shooting overall a little bit. But his potential coming out of college was insane. Out of Arizona, I believe. Yeah, Arizona, that's what it was. And he's not quite hit it, but he's getting there. He's getting very close to that. Next up, you guys are going to hate this. Vucevic.
Crazy.
Nikola Vucevic. What do you got to say about this one, Nick?
I just think he puts up empty stats. He's just one of the worst defenders in the NBA.
Right. Jamie, what's your take before I just give my reasoning?
Same thing. He's slower. He's not the same player that he was in Orlando, who was an A-tier center. He's not that guy anymore. He's on a way worse performing team that is the Chicago Bulls. So he's not that same guy anymore. He's a lot older, slower, and you can tell when watching a Bulls game.
Right. Sure. You guys may be half right there. But he's averaging 18 points, 11 rebounds. He's shooting the ball very efficiently still. Yes, his defense is not there. That is one of his knocks. But he's still better, I believe, than all those B-tier guys. He is about as A-minus as it gets. The other guys are around AA+. He's the only one that's not close to S-tier. He is more close to a B-plus range. But he's still averaging 18 points, 11 rebounds, and he's shooting the ball not all-star, superstar level, but he's still shooting the ball very efficiently. Yes, I know it's on the Bulls, but that's all I got for A-tier. You're up, Jamie.
Okay, starting off with my A-tier, I'm going to start off with Bam out the Bayou. Bam Adebayo. He's very close to that S-tier. He's made drastic improvements in really everything. So the Heat, they're winning games, and Bam Adebayo is probably the main reason for it. He's turned into that number one guy for the team. Jimmy Butler, he's going to sit back and watch the Bam show. Next up, Miles Turner, who, like Alex and Nick said earlier, is one of the best. Well, I don't know. You didn't have him.
He hasn't gone
A-tier. But like Alex said earlier, he's one of the best shooters in the league, and he's one of the best shooters we've seen at that big man position all time. He's averaging 18, along with stellar defense that he's always had his entire career. So I feel like A tier is a perfect fit for him.
No, you finished off.
Is it the Moses Brown thing?
No, it's about Vucevic. He's having his fourth best shooting season of his career. So y'all can take it.
He's a slow boy. Slow. But yeah, that's Miles Turner. Next up, Brook Lopez. Shout out Fresno, California, home of the Bulldogs. Go Dogs. That's where Brook Lopez is from, if y'all didn't know. But he is the defensive anchor for that Bucks team, who are right now in my eyes a championship favorite. So that's a big thanks in part to Brook Lopez. I believe right now he's second place in Defensive Player of the Year in the rankings. So he's been fantastic. He's definitely improved his jump shot over the years too. Next up, my guy, Domantas Sabonis, who I did consider putting S tier, but he's just not up there yet. I do believe his win share percentage is amongst the highest in the league, and if the Kings did not have Sabonis, we'd probably be the 10th seed or something. We would not be that good. But
we'd
with
still
Sabonis,
have Haliburton.
No. Well, yeah, we would still have Haliburton, obviously, but we wouldn't be winning games. Sabonis has been absolutely fantastic. He's putting up 18, 11, and 7, which are incredible numbers at that center position.
Yep.
He's doing it very efficiently too. And now the Sacramento Kings are at an unheard of second seed in the West, which is pretty crazy to say as a Kings fan. So big shout out to Sabonis. He's been a big part of that. Next up, DeAndre Ayton, who has been an amazing piece for that Phoenix Suns team. He really wanted to leave in the offseason. He didn't get it, but now he's playing alongside Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Chris Paul. They're up there in the championship favorites, and Ayton's a big part of that. And lastly, I have a guy who's a bit of a nerd, according to TikTok. He likes Harry Potter and Legos or something. It is Jarrett Allen, who is not playing as big of a role as he used to out in Cleveland due to what Nick said earlier in that being Evan Mobley has really stepped up. But defensively, he's always been an anchor. He goes and contests every single shot that gets put up around the rim, and I have to just condone him for that. He gets put on posters all the time, but he gets a lot of blocks too. I've seen that man just block Giannis a few times, so Jarrett Allen's very deserving of that A-tier spot. The Cavaliers are, what seed are they in the East?
Fifth.
They're fifth? Yeah, yeah, but I have them as a championship favorite. They are, they're just so good, they're so young, and they're here to stick around for a long time, and that's thanks in part to Jarrett Allen.
You just said the Bucks were your championship favorite.
I'm saying they're up there in the favorites. I think the Bucks are number one, though.
All right, S tier.
Yeah, so moving on to S, like I was saying, obviously, I have Bam Adebayo in S. I think that he's the best player on the team. They're just so good defensively. Him especially, he's so good defensively to where it just makes it kind of impossible, to not have him in S. He's, has such an impact offensively, too. He's only, 25 years old. And then, obviously, the top three guys, Embiid, AD, Jokic, AD is the only reason the Lakers have been winning lately. They have all those injuries with D'Angelo Russell and LeBron. So AD's been carrying, obviously, and then Jokic, in my eyes, has two very fraudulent MVPs. But
and a third coming.
But, that is what that is. And then we got probably, in my eyes, second best player or the best player in the NBA, Joel Embiid. He puts up, since the trade deadline, he's putting up the most points per game, around 36 points per game, with 12 rebounds and 3 blocks, and we've been winning almost every game. So, Joel Embiid, he should win the MVP this season, I think. But he's not going to, again. But that is what that is, so.
My S tier, we got Jokic, AD, and Embiid. You know what they all have in common? They are all some of the best talents to ever step foot on an NBA court. Starting off with Jokic, he's probably going to win his third MVP in a row. He's going to be up there with Larry Bird and Jordan for winning back-to-back-to-back-back. I forget if that was 3 or 4 times I said it, but MVPs. Okay, I said it 4 times. All right, so I retract one of those back-to-back-to-backs. Anyways, he might do it. I agree with Nick. It should be Embiid. Embiid is having... Same with last year. It should have been Embiid last year. I can understand the first one for Jokic because he came out of nowhere and just took the league by storm, so I can understand the first one. Last year, though, should have been Embiid, but he gets it. Oh, well. If he wins it this year, come on. That's blasphemy, as Stephen A. Smith would say. That's got to go to Embiid or someone that's really, just take... I know Jokic is taking the league by storm. He's averaging a triple-double. But still, you can't do this 3 years in a row. I'm actually getting really annoyed thinking about that he's going to do it 3 years in a row, a lot like Nick was. But with that said, go ahead.
I think it's kind of insane that, now that he's averaging a triple-double, it's not stat padding, but somebody that did it for 3 seasons straight on one of the best teams in the NBA that, to this day, only has 30% players still in the NBA, which that means Westbrook, Sabonis, Steven Adams, Victor Oladipo are the only 4 players on that roster.
Serge was gone.
No, yeah. Those are the only 4 players on that roster that are in the NBA.
That was just a couple years ago.
Exactly. So that just shows how dominant his MVP season was and the fact that he's averaging a 19-point triple-double compared to a 32-point triple-double is just... I think it's kind of ridiculous to even give him any sort of props.
He'll average 19 points per game?
Or 20. It's a very low-scoring triple-double.
Let me see. Jokic is averaging... 24.
Oh, okay. Well, it was 19 earlier in the season, but...
Still, though, I mean, Russ was averaging like a 31-point-per-game triple-double. He was doing it all on the court. But jumping into the next guy I got, that would be Anthony Davis. He is probably one of the lower guys out of all of them, but he's still S-tier. It's Anthony Davis. He's one of the best centers of all time. Just injuries has really plagued his career. But right now, I mean, yeah, he's carrying this Lakers team. They're 7-2 since the trade deadline. No hate to Westbrook. I was just messing around earlier. But they are 7-2 since the trade deadline. And that's all because Anthony Davis, because LeBron has been out all of it, basically. So with that said, Anthony Davis is my S tier. And then Joel Embiid, who I believe should be MVP this season. If it's not Tatum, it should be Embiid, because I don't really think Jokic should win three in a row. I don't think he should be up there in the lineage with Jordan and Larry Bird. So hopefully he wins it this year. If it's not my boy Tatum, next up will be Embiid. So those are my three S tier guys. I know Jamie has very similar. Let's hear it.
Real quick, I do want to say I was just sent a stat from an anonymous source that Nikola Vucevic has a plus minus this year of -39. That doesn't sound very A tier to me, does it? But that's separate. Let's get into the S tier guys, the actual good centers. Let's start off with Nikola Jokic. He has two very dangerous brothers, as the Morris brothers found out, but. Again, these two already talked about it. I'm not going to deep dive into it about the whole MVP thing. I don't think he should be MVP. I think Luka's being snubbed out of this whole thing because I'm barely seeing that he's in the top 10. I think he should be up there. I think Tatum's better than him and Embiid. So, yeah, Jokic, he's doing Jokic things, but it's been like the same thing 3 years in a row. And like they don't even have the best record in the NBA. And I feel like there's other players putting up better stats than he is. So, nonetheless, he still is one of the high-end centers in the league, if not the highest. So, I got to give him his props. Next up, Anthony Davis. You know, he is hurt. And when I mean hurt, I mean he's hurt a lot. But when he does touch the floor, you could tell he's one of the most dominant centers in the league. He's always putting up the 31-20 type stat lines when, especially when LeBron's not playing, which is right about now.
What did you say his plus minus was? Because I know it's -0.6.
I mean, it's on StatMuse.
22-23 season and it's 65 games played. It's -0.6.
Still negative.
How could you have it? No. How could you have a -32? Maybe.
Nine.
What?
39.
How? That's not impossible.
He's just that bad.
It's -0.6, and this is NBA.com.
StatMuse.
So your anonymous source is pulling a fast one on you.
NBA.com's false.
I only listen to Woj.
NBA.com.
That's him that said it.
StatMuse.org versus .com.
I'm on NBA.com.
I know, it's the fake one.
-0.6.
Nope.
Fake news.
Next up is Anthony Davis. I already said Anthony Davis, but I do think he's the best player on the Lakers when healthy. And lastly, Joel Embiid, who... might just be the best player in the league and was absolutely snubbed last year for MVP and might just get snubbed this year again, which is pretty pitiful considering he's on a winning team. He's on a contending team and he's putting up more averages. I honestly think he's the most dominant center in the league that we've seen since, I'm going to say, in Orlando, Dwight Howard. I'm not going to say Shaq because Shaq was a whole other level of dominant, but I do think he's the most dominant guy we've seen since Dwight Howard.
This is his third best plus minus. Sorry to interrupt again, but this is his third best plus minus.
Fix that. Joel Embiid has been absolutely fantastic. One of the best shooting big men that we've seen in NBA history, which is a common theme because, you know, big men are evolving, but Joel Embiid does it at such a high level. He hits a lot of tough shots, and he does it all for the Sixers, so... That is the conclusion of my S tier, and that is also the conclusion...
No, I want to rebuttal.
Oh, my God.
This is his third best plus-minus of his career. His worst one is -6.3. I don't know, -32, 39, the heck you're talking about. His best one is, 2.7. His second best is 0.5. And then this is his third best at -0.6.
You're looking at fakestats.jpg.
I'm on NBA.com.
For all of you that are
I have never been so close to putting profanities on this podcast because you're really messing with me right now.
For all of you that are
listening,
he's not on NBA.com.
-0.6.
I don't know what you're looking at. I can't see. With all of that being said, some great bantering. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM and the Full Court Press Podcast. For the first time ever, we're going to be taking a 2-week break off due to spring break.
Well, really, 2 weeks for your ears, but a week for us.
Yeah, 2 weeks for you, for your guys' sake and for our sake as well. We're going to enjoy our much-needed time off with friends and family, and I hope you all do as well. We're going to keep the next episode a secret just so we build up some anticipation over the next week. You know, keep you guys waiting. Keep you all on your toes, you know? This series is over, so what could be next? Oh, my. Real quick, make sure to follow us on Instagram at @FCPPodcast_UA and on TikTok at @FCP_podcast. This is Jamie, Alex, and Nick signing out.
Peace.
See you guys soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.